because you can only be in this venue till 10:45, because at 11 o'clock we have to all go to Parliament, you know, the committee as is and the rest of the parliamentarians. Now, everyone read through the documentation that we received from the department, because it was given to people well in advance. And that you have questions ready. And I hope that everyone that was at home last week, it was the first time that we were really free, is well rested. Although I know everyone did their constituency work too. And with those few words, I'd like to welcome the department here today and even the members present. Mrs. Carlson will be leading this report on basic education, because the DG went to the Eastern Cape today and gave an apology. We have the apology. Llewellyn, is there any other apologies?
Yes, Chair. We've received an apology from Honourable Makubele, mm-hmm. Honourable Skosana, Honourable Dudley, and Honourable Dikobo. Mr. Madisha has just arrived, so he'll be a bit late. Thanks.
And the other people that's on their way? And then these members that's on their way, I don't know why they get lost to this venue. Mrs. Carlson, I'll give you, we see what's the time now, 10:10, 10:15, we have to go in. I'll give you till... Can you speak to the report? I want to give our hour, but we now won't have time for questioning if I give our hour. Let's make it about 3/4 of an hour, not longer. So it's from now till about 10:15. Of course, we still have a lot of work to do today. Thank you. You may start now.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thank you very much for having spoken to the DG's apology already, Chairperson. We do have a fairly lengthy presentation. I don't know also with due to the time constraints whether we are going to dispense with the introductions, because we do have a few alternates in the meeting to the branch heads who would normally be here. So maybe just for the courtesy of you knowing which officials represent which branches, I'm going to request that we just do those introductions very briefly, and that that we will then be able to launch straight into the presentation. As you can hear, I'm a bit fluey, so I'm going to hand over to Mr. Kutsir to do the bulk of the presentation, but all of the program managers are present and would be able to speak to any of the matters related to their particular programs. Thank you very much. I'm Vivian Carlson, the DDG for Strategy, Research and Communications, and delegated to represent the DG in this meeting today. On my right, Mr. Kutsir will continue. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Gerrit Kutsir from Strategic Planning and Reporting in the Department of Basic Education.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Vernon Jacobs. I am responsible for coordinating the implementation of conditional and donor grants in the department.
Good morning. My name is Marie-Louise Samuels. I'm the Acting Chief Director in the Curriculum Branch.
Good morning, Honourable Members. It's Harun Mohammed from the Tissue Development Directorate.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Kukun Devele from Social Mobilization and Support Services, DBE.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Ntsitsa Molela, CFO.
Thank you. Department side, at the back.
Members, Anton Skumani, DDG Administration.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Ferry Pagliacci, DDG Plan Information and Assessment.
Honourable Members, I'm Palisade Chabeka, DDG for Planning and Delivery Oversight.
Good morning, honourable members and honourable chair. My name is Carol Nuga Deliwe, Strategic Planning Research and Coordination.
Anyone else from the department?
PBE, sorry.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Kelly Mukwebi from DG's Office, Department of Education.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We just want to indicate that as the presentation is captured here in the document that we forwarded to the members, the presentation has four components to it, and we will be taking you through the context within which this particular fourth quarterly report is presented to you. We want to note that we have concluded, as we know, the first of the year, and we will be preparing towards the annual report in the next round, that this particular quarter speaks to the performance of the DBE on its strategic objectives for the 2011-2012 year, and it is presented in the context of these highlights as listed in slide number 4, which is the reopening of schools and the beginning of the 2012 academic year, which saw a number of very critical school visits and testing of the school readiness by the department nationally but also provincially, and we saw a number of these visits and presenting us with evidence of a range of factors which influenced the start of this academic year. We also saw the release of the 2011 NSC results on the 4th of January in this particular quarter, and we all know that we celebrated the improvement on those results, as well as the implementation of the CAPS in grades 1 to 3, as well as in grade 10. This quarter also heralded the 54 million books being workbooks distributed to learners at no cost to parents or learners, as well as in February, a very successful and the first kind of grand-scale teacher awards, which was covered and flagged by the South African Broadcasting Corporation. We also saw the elections of SGBs at more than 25,000 schools in this in the country in the month of March, as well as the Section 101B interventions in the Eastern Cape and Limpopo, which has offered a whole range of new challenges to the department and extended its mandate in terms of the work being done there now to assist those two provinces from the national department. We celebrated the launch of the Magnificent Wednesday campaign, which was to encourage our participation and learner participation in sports at all schools, as well as in the last part of this quarter, the launch of the 94 Schools for the Madiba project in celebration of Madiba's 94th birthday this year. I'm going to hand over to Mr. Kutsir to take us through the report in Part B onwards, which looks at the specific performance related to each of the programs of the DBE as captured on slide 6, which lists the five programs as they are covered in this particular report. Thank you, Chairperson.
And over to you, Mr. Kutsir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Perhaps just before I go into the report, just to preface and appreciate the role that the Portfolio Committee plays in its oversight function on the work and the performance of the Department of Basic Education, and also just to indicate that this particular presentation deals with the period January to March 2012, and the purpose of the presentation is to share with the honourable members the achievements against the targets as it was set in the annual performance plan for the fourth quarter, that is January to March 2012. The honourable members and honourable chair will know that the Department of Basic Education is structured into five programs: administration, curriculum policy support and monitoring, teachers education, human resources and institutional development, planning, information and assessment, and educational enrichment services. We will go through those programs and we will look at the main achievements, we will look at the targets achieved, and we will also look at where there were obstacles and challenges. As was shared previously with the Portfolio Committee, the Department of Basic Education, in its annual performance plan for 2011-12, reports against 23 quarterly targets, 3 biannual targets, 35 annual targets, and in total we have a number of 61 targets to which we report. And also perhaps just to remind ourselves that these targets is the work of the Department of Basic Education within the budget allocation that was awarded to the department for the period 2011-12. If one dives straight into Program 1, then we're going to look at the sub-programs, Legal and Legislative Services, Media, International Relations, and Provincial Support and Delivery. Some of the key achievements and events during this quarter was the appointments of the Deputy Director Generals for Finance Administration, as well as for Planning Information Assessment, amongst other things that was done. The Legal and Legislative Services sub-program resolved 6 court cases out of the 12 that was on its book at this point. The remaining cases at this point were still in progress. In terms of the international work that the department is involved in, we were able to conclude 3 multilateral agreements. The House will know that working within international relations and multilateral affairs is very difficult to set targets in terms of what will be achieved because of the fluid environment in which this is being done. I think what was very important to note in especially this fourth quarter, we've spoken a lot about the role of the Planning, Delivery and Oversight Unit, but I think during the fourth quarter the Planning, Delivery and Oversight Unit started to flex its muscle and started to become significantly involved in the affairs of basic education in the 9 provinces. And specifically, in terms of the support that was provided to the 15 underperforming districts and the role that is played to support those districts in terms of the development of district improvement plans to ensure the availability and the efficient utilization of teachers in line with the President's State of the Nation address around time on task in schools and the availability of sufficient textbooks for learners. The Planning, Delivery and Oversight Unit also monitored curriculum coverage, participated and supported district and prepared districts for the analysis and utilization of ANA and the effective utilization of textbooks. More than 80% of queries that was received through the presidential hotline and the DBE call center was resolved during this period. And then as well, the PDOU assisted in the revival of the ELRC chambers in the Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga. So the role of the PDOU is becoming increasingly stronger in ensuring and assisting the department in removing those obstacles in the value chain that blocks effective service delivery and teaching and learning happening in provinces. The department was involved in communication activities, and through the communication chief directorate, the work of the department was foregrounded, and we were able to work with the public and with the various stakeholders. Just a summary then of Program 1 consists of a total number of 8 program performance indicators, 5 annual targets and 3 quarterly targets. In the annual performance plan, where we have the targets in the first, the performance indicators in the first column, then a column detailing the target for 2011, and then, Chairperson, one will see that quarters 1, 2, 3, and 4 is reflected on the screen, both in terms of the target for the specific quarter as well as the actual validated output. In this slide, there's one red, and that is for the number of multilateral cooperation agreements being implemented. And I think, as I've previously stated, that it's very difficult in this environment to ensure that you reach your targets, because it's often out of the control of the Department of Basic Education. We did very well in terms of, we're on track in terms of the percentage of court cases. We resolved the number of basic education legislation drafted and being signed into law. We are making progress with improving our national and provincial communication platforms, and we're doing well in terms of responding to the queries from provincial Department of Education. Overall, in this program, 75% of targets has been achieved, and only two of the targets require our attention. Honourable members and Honourable Chairperson, Program 2 is one of the programs in the department that is one of those that are in the engine room of the department in terms of the work that we do, in terms of our core business in delivering the curriculum, providing support and monitoring within our schools. The sub-program for this program consists of the curriculum implementation and monitoring of grade R to 12, curriculum quality enhancement programs, and then the Kharigude literacy project. I think if one reflects back at the period January to March 2012, then one has to focus on the work that has been done in terms of the implementation of CAPS. For the first time in CAPS was implemented in grades 1 to 3 as well as in grade 10, and a lot of effort has gone and focus has gone into the preparation for grades 4 and 6 for the implementation of CAPS in 2013. We recognize that within the Eastern Cape, we will be working during the month of May to ensure that the Eastern Cape is up to date as well in terms of CAPS. I think Honourable Chairperson, what is important to note is that the CAPS has taken a lot of capacity from the Department of Basic Education to roll it out in the 9 provinces. And because of the priority that has been given to this program within the Department of Basic Education and an expectation within the provinces, our time and energy for this specific program was largely focused in ensuring that we have effective introduction of CAPS in all our provinces and especially in all our schools. A second one that is also one of the high priority issues within the Department of Basic Education, which get a lot of media coverage, is the issue of learning and teaching support materials. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, I think it's important to note the Department of Basic Education has made great strides in terms of ensuring that every learner receives a workbook to work from. We are aware of some of the difficulties that are being experienced in some of the provinces around the distribution of workbooks. However, that has been solved largely, and it's only in a few outstanding provinces where there may still be issues. It's more than approximately 54 million that is workbooks that has been distributed, which is a large number for a national Department of Basic Education to be involved in. But on top of that, the Department of Basic Education was also responsible for almost 5 million grade 10 to 12 textbooks and math and science that has been distributed, which we think is a very good achievement. I need to indicate that in terms of textbooks, historically the distribution of textbooks and the procurement of textbook is done by the provinces. And when I say textbooks, it is textbooks from grade R to grade 9 or grade 12. Department of Basic Education undertook to provide math and science textbooks for grade 10 to 12. The other textbooks is through the procurement processes of the provinces. And through the media reports that we've received, we realize that it is necessary for the Department of Basic Education to get involved and to ensure that the distribution of textbooks to all our schools within the provinces happen effectively. And to this effect, we have reported previously of the centralized procurement system that has been put in place and the measures that have been taken through this program. We've made progress around the availability of e-education. The assessment for grade 7 and 9 has been strengthened through the provision of assessment item banks. We have monitored the implementation of the CAPS in the foundation phase and in grade 10. If one look then to the targets as it is captured within the annual performance plan for 2011-12, then one would note that this program reported again 17 program performance indicators, of which 12 of those had annual targets and 5 had quarterly targets. In terms of the number of educators that use and apply ICT in their classrooms, we've made progress around that. Just a reminder to the honourable members that the numbers here is what the DBE set as a target for itself, and it does not include the targets that may have been set within the provincial departments of education. We have achieved, more than achieved our target in terms of the number of subject advisors that were trained in CAPS for grade R to 12. There's 3 targets that is in the amber, and they refer to the achievements through the grade 12 examinations. The reason for them being in the amber can be more or less can be ascribed to the fact that you had a lower enrollment number for the NEC during this year, as well as some of the obstacles that we've experienced in providing support for grade 12 learners in preparation for the 2011 examination. The percentage of youths who have obtained a national senior certificate, that is at 49%, the target that we've set was 44%. Percentage of youths who obtain any FET qualification, this is a very difficult indicator to measure, we've realized during this financial year, largely because we are dependent on the work that is being done in the Department of Higher Education and Training with regards to this. We've also hoped that the General Household Survey will provide us more insight in the achievement of this target. However, the sample that was used in GHS was not sufficient. The percentage of textbooks and workbooks available among learners from stands at about 98.74% for grade R to 9 volume 1 workbooks, 97.25% for grade 1 to 9 volume 2 workbooks, and then as I've indicated, 97.36% of FET schools physical science maths supplementary textbooks as per order were distributed. And again here, just to emphasize, Honourable Chair, that these refer to workbooks and the supplementary textbooks for grade 10 to 12 in FET. It does not refer to the textbooks that are being distributed by provinces, procured and distributed by provinces themselves. The number of textbooks and workbooks available to registered Karegude mass literacy campaign learners, more than almost 3 million of these were distributed and become available. In terms of the percentage of library information services available to learners, it's an amber, we stand at 42%. What we've looked at here is at the physical structure, schools that have libraries in schools. We did not include in this mobile libraries or libraries that is available within communities. The percentage of grade 1 learners who have received formal grade R, the members will know that we are doing very well in this regard in terms of ensuring access to grade R. Now, this is the area I think which will perhaps raise discussion amongst the honourable members in terms of the targets that were set. I think one has to be, when we look at this, one has to look at it and from the perspective that these targets were set by the Department of Basic Education for itself. So in other words, what we have reported here is what the Department of Basic Education set out for itself to achieve. It does not include the activities and the work that may have been done within provinces. These are only the work that the Department of Basic Education has set out for itself. And when I introduced Program 2, I referred to the focus and the energy and the capacity that was put into the work of CAPS and ensuring that all schools have workbooks and textbooks for supplementary textbooks. In some way or another, that has detracted us from achieving the targets the Department of Basic Education for itself set out for itself, as reported over here. The same as well for the last performance indicator. However, again, I need to emphasize that work has happened through the provinces around these three performance indicators. This is then what the program performance looked like for Program 2. 50% of the targets have been achieved, 25% made progress, and 4 indicators did not achieve the planned targets within the time frames. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, if one will look at Program 3, Teacher Education, Human Resources and Institutional Development, just some of the significant events and achievements are being listed over here. I think what we did celebrate this year, other than the National Teacher Awards, was the collaboration of the program with teacher unions, with the progress that has been made, especially in the KwaZulu-Natal and Mpumalanga, and then with regards to the further development programs where more than 70,000 educators were reached. I think a highlight as well and worth mentioning was the implementation of the school governing body elections during March, that perhaps if one reflects on it, may be an indication of the maturity of our democracy and it shows the participation of our parents in our schools and that is in more than 25,000 of our schools that these elections were conducted. Also, the Minister of Basic Education has led the department and was instrumental in ensuring that the department strengthened its support to districts, and to this effect the guidelines on the organization, the roles and responsibility of education districts, as a policy has gone out for comment,
In terms of the role of IQMS, IQMS remain one of the strong monitoring arms for the Department of Basic Education. A total of 2,631 schools were visited in the nine provinces. During these visits, the IQMS moderators looked at the school effectiveness as well as how districts engage with schools. We had 1,811 follow-up visits that were conducted. We were able to observe more than 700 educators while they were teaching and provided support where were required. The total of number of schools visits exceeded the target of 2,000 for the quarter by more than 600. Just to look at Honourable Chair and Honourable Members about some of the issues around teacher supply and utilisation. On the slide, this slide, we look at the number of qualified teachers aged 30 and below entering the public service as teachers for the first time during the past year per province, and we have the figures there for the nine provinces. I think what is significant to note is that almost 7,000 qualified teachers aged 30 and below entered the public service as teachers for the first time during the past year. Just some information around the class size and the percentage of learners in classes with no more than 45 learners per province. And I think if one then look at this slide, one can clearly see where the Department of Basic Education will focus its attention to ensure that this is improved in all provinces. If one look at the vacancy rates at schools, the vacancy rate for January 2011 and then the vacancy rate for January 2012, one will then see there has been a lot of progress in improving this in our schools. Just a summary of Program 3 and to look at how they achieved in terms of the targets that they've set for themselves. If one look at the NICPD, this did not come off the ground, but for 2012-13 things are in place, and I'm sure that when we report on this again that that will not be a read again. This program achieved greens in terms of the number of qualified teachers aged 30 and below, the number of bursaries awarded to students for initial education training, the percentage of schools where allocated teaching posts were filled, and the percentage of learners who are in classes with no more than 45. It is also in the green in terms of the target set for itself, in terms of the percentage of schools producing a minimum set of management documents as the required standards, percentage of schools where school governing body meets the minimum criteria in terms of effectiveness, and the percentage of schools where principals rate the support services of districts are being satisfactory. In summary then, the program achieved 89% of its targets. The only one that they have not achieved is the one on the NIPCD. If we then go to Program 4, and the Program 4 reports on the information management systems, the financial and physical planning, and the last sub-program is national assessments and public examinations. Significant events and achievements for the period January to March was the detailed technical report on the NSC examinations for 2011, diagnostic report based on the NSC examination results, included remedial programs that was included in terms of how to improve performance in schools, and the international benchmarking of the 2010 NSC question papers.
And I think what is important to note is that the standard of our NSC question papers compare favorably internationally. We have reported extensively on the results of the National Senior Certificate, but the supplementary exams have been completed during this reporting period, and the overall pass rate combining the 2011 results with the March 2012 supplementary examinations pushes the total result up to 72.7, so we are very close to 73% pass rate now in the NSC. The Department of Basic Education is gearing up and preparing itself and preparing the sector, every province, every district, and every school and every teacher for the writing of the 2012 annual national assessments, which will be written from 18 to the 21st of September. These are the activities that the department has worked towards and have achieved during this quarter. A comprehensive report and policy briefs were produced for benchmarking national performance at grade 6 level against the countries that participated in the SACMEC of 2007. That report was discussed and at various levels within the sector. I think the other one that, together with CAPS and ANA and workbooks, that is of great importance and a priority, not just for the department, for the minister and for the sector, is the improvement of infrastructure and the provisioning of resources to all our schools. Now, in this quarter, we've made progress in that the approach to the ACD program was revised to supplement the existing implementing agents with additional ones, and also alternative delivery models have been introduced. A mixed delivery model was adopted, and several sub-programs were adopted for the program. The designs were finalized for the 49 schools in the Eastern Cape, 16 contractors were appointed, 42 project progress have been registered. An additional 47 schools have been assessed in the Eastern Cape. Assessments on the remaining projects are in progress, and the prototype designs developed by the DPE have been adopted for implementation on the appropriate structures, reducing design time and contain cost. And then a standard bill of quantities have been prepared for the prototype designs. In terms of financial planning, these are the progress that has been made, especially around making funding available for the expansion of Grade R in 2013-14, and also of funding being made available for the equalization of the allocation to no-fee schools in 2013-14, and then an advertisement that was placed in all newspapers to emphasize when parents qualify to be automatically exempted for the payment of school fees. The department monitor the provincial budget and expenditure and the trends that comes from that. This is an important function, and we utilize this function to make provinces aware as soon as we pick up the possibility of a red flag area that might arise within provinces. So this is an early intervention tool that is being used to quite good effect by the department at the moment together with the provinces. Program 4 reported again 16 performance indicators. We've achieved 14 annual targets and 2 quarterly targets. The reason why these are amber is because we will only have ANA be written by the end of 2012. When we drafted the APP, the expectation was that ANA would happen in February 2012, which was clearly not realistic. So in other words, we've marked it as amber because a lot of work has gone into preparing the sector, as I've reported or shared earlier, for ANAR 2012. In terms of the percentage of schools complying with a very basic level of school infrastructure, the target that we set for ourselves was 88%. We are achieving at 55%. And the same for the percentage of learners in schools that are funded at the minimum level, we are achieving at 47%. I am sure that Mr. Parihaji will be able to speak more around those areas. We are in the green and achieved quite well in terms of these indicators that we've set for ourselves. In terms of LURITS, we are making very good progress. We're looking forward to see how this will improve into the future. For program 4 then, 50% is at amber, and this is largely informed by the fact that we've made all the ANA indicators in amber because ANA will only be written in September 2012. Honourable members and honourable chair, we are at program 5, the last program before we may just quickly have a reflection on the finances and the progress around that. Program 5 reported on the integrated school health program, which is a very important strategy that has been introduced. And I think what is important to note there is that over the next 5 years, the ISP will extend services to all learners in primary and secondary schools. So this is a very important focus and strategy for the department going forward. And we work in collaboration with the Department of Health, the Department of Social Development, in order to achieve this. We are doing very well in terms of the National Schools Nutrition Program. We were able to provide quintile 1 to 3 primary and secondary schools with meals to almost 9 million learners. Some of the highlights was the South African schools Carolus Tetford. In terms of school sport, in our introduction, Ms. Carlos referred to the Magnificent Wednesday program that was launched in March to encourage school sport and activity in all our schools. The Quality Learning and Teaching campaign, together with the Planning, Delivery and Oversight Unit, is doing good work in ensuring that all stakeholders are involved in ensuring that learning and teaching happening within our schools. And almost 9,000 schools have now formally been linked to their police stations to improve safety in schools. In this program, Honourable Chair, we reported against 11 program performance indicators, 7 quarterly targets, 3 biannual targets, and then 1 annual target. This slide reflects the achievement of this program, which looks good, and good progress is being made towards improving the conditions for teaching and learning for our learners at school. The only one that stands at red, honourable members, is the percentage of public ordinary schools that reflect a democratic ethos and a human rights culture. And the reason why it is red is because this is a very difficult indicator to measure. It is almost impossible for us to measure that. What we thought that we may be able to do is if one then use the success of the school governing body elections as a proxy, one may get deduct from there to what extent there's been an improvement in the democratic ethos and human rights culture in our schools. Just in summary, for program 5, they've achieved 80% of their targets. There's one amber and the one red that I've just spoken about. Honorable. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I wonder if I can request the CFO to speak to the expenditure report.
Good man, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The department had a total allocation for the 2011-12 financial year amounting to 14.080 million, which is 14 billion. 11.218 billion of the budget is allocated for transfer payment. And these are for conditional grants, which are 10 billion, transfers to public entities, 467.831 million, and other transfers are 13.398 million. The remainder of the budget, which is 2,862 million, is made up by compensation of employees, which is 241 million, examiners and moderators, 15 million, earmarked funds, 1.5 billion, specifically and exclusively appropriated allocation of 700 million, departmental operations 237, and departmental projects of 105 million. Next slide, Gert. And this amount is broken into five programs as indicated on the above slide. And the actual expenditure on administration, the expenditure achieved is 97.84%. Program 2, curriculum and policy support, 94.63%. Teachers branch, 92.57%. And the planning branch, 84%. And the last branch, educational enrichment, achieved 99.66%. This slide shows expenditure in terms of economic classification. In terms of compensation of employees, we spent 95%, goods and services 91%, interest and rent on land 100%, and transfers and subsidies 96.6%, payment for capital assets 10.6%. This one is also economic classification, but it breaks it down further just to show transfers to public entities, conditional grants, infrastructure, backlog grant, and so forth. But basically, it's the same as the previous slide. And this one is also showing the details of the earmarked funds that were allocated to the department, and it's just breaking earmarked funds into details. Conditional grants are also shown in detail there as well. And this one is also part of the previous one, which shows the details of the transfer payments to public entities and other transfers. Thank you.
Thank you to that. Any conclusion, B? Do you want to do a conclusion? Fine.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Just to conclude, we believe that the interventions of the past year will be consolidated during the coming financial year to improve learner performance with a specific focus on learning. And working with our provincial education departments, this focus on learning will include and continue our work around the rollout of the curriculum assessment policy statements, the expanded distribution of workbooks, teacher development and improving accountability, the issue of LTSM quality, cost and coverage interventions, very important ensuring curriculum coverage and the utilization to ensure our outcomes are achieved, and then the use of the results of the annual national assessments and the national senior certificate examination to improve learning. I thank you, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Kutsia. I'm opening now for questions from our Honourable Members. Fine. I'll start there with, I'll go down this way, because I know everyone wants to ask a question. I'll start with Honourable Smiles, then Honourable Lakmo, and I'm not going to tell you three questions, but don't make it too long. Yeah, because the thing is, we are going to be with the department for 3 days in a workshop. It will be in Cape Town. And, if the questions can't be answered now, we have recommendations on it, we have a CD on it, we have a separate meeting for the AG's report. We ask them to sort out the recommendations for us that we made over the year, infrastructure, and then we're going to look also at the collaboration with the different departments. So we will. So if we don't answer all questions, those questions will be done at this workshop. So that's why I say you can ask. I'm sorry, Honourable Mshwana, that I stopped between you and Honourable Lakmore just to speak. Honourable Mashishi, Honourable Mponshana, Honourable Mani, and then Honourable Gina. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, yes, I have lots of questions, but I will do three only.
All right.
On the CAPS implementation, Chairperson, it is an open secret that medicine science teachers, the shortage there is very acute.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to check with regard to grade 10 maths teachers and science teachers, the implementation of the CAPS, and also to make sure that we are successful in that regard, by making sure that we do have qualified teachers in the grade 10 classrooms for maths and science. Maybe the department as a monitoring and coordination unit, I would imagine that they must have those things at their fingertips, and to make sure that whilst we are having this new CAPS thing, that we do it right from the start. So I think it's crucial that we have, in grade 10, that we have maths and science teachers that know what to do. Then secondly, planning as achievement with regard to the target 50%, that's very cumbersome. And my question there is the planning with regard to special needs education, which once again is not being raised in this presentation, which is also very sad, because I would have imagined that 4 of these 5 programs at least would have indicated what is going to happen with special needs education. But I'm now focusing on planning, because it starts with planning for special needs education. So can we hear from planning at least what is going to happen? Then, Chairperson, the underspending of 1.2 billion rand. I haven't heard, maybe I missed, I haven't heard why such a huge amount was underspent.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get that information? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Lakmore.
Thank you, Chairperson. Referring to specific slides, slide 11 indicated that as Program 1 significant achievements or events and achievements for the PDOU, one of them was assisting in the finalisation of post-establishments being issued on time. Now, we've got another court case in the Eastern Cape with respect of implementation of post-establishments, so it's all very well that we finalise post-establishments, but the fact is that they, certainly in Eastern Cape, are not being implemented. And that's reflected in another slide where it shows the number of teachers that were appointed in the Eastern Cape as being really ridiculously low. So just a comment on implementation and the DBE's involvement in that. If there's any, Chair, referring to slide 27, my colleague spoke about the special needs, 27 and 28 refer to special needs. Now, the comment was made that these are targets for DBE, but and do not include what might have been done at the provinces. But please can that just be unpacked a little bit more? I don't understand that. If you, for instance, say the number of special schools with at least one educator who has received specialized training in the identification and support of special needs, and you say there must be 30 such schools, and you say the targeted number were not tracked, that, it certainly sounds as if it is, that is the case for the country. It's false. It just doesn't give us a picture of what's happening across the country. But also, what I don't understand is, if the provinces are doing this, why is DBE doing it? DBE should surely be operating at a higher level than operational, and this is very much operational. So please can you just explain that a little bit further? And Chair, that's reflected in the next slide that I want to speak about, which is slide 33, where reference was made to the external IQMS moderators. Now, IQMS, as I understand it, is done in the schools. There are school managers, the principals, but then there are circuit managers, and there are district managers, and provincial managers, and all these people are supposed to make sure that these jobs are done properly, not DBE. If those people are not making sure that IQMS is implemented properly, then why is action not being taken to do something about it? Why is, if I remember correctly, there was an amount of 860 million, I think, allocated in this year's, this financial year's budget for exactly this, to go and moderate IQMS. So I find that quite astounding. But you've moderated all those schools, which is fair. I'm glad about that. But are you taking action to make sure that the people who are supposed to do that job, in fact, are? Chair, just two more comments or questions. Slide 38 referred to the National Institute for Curriculum and Professional Development. And the fourth quarter output said concept document not yet approved. Now, what does that actually imply? Does that, I mean, this is curriculum development. So what does this imply? Is this not the unit or the institute that is supposed to be making sure that everything's in place for cats? I'm not fully understanding what, as I say, what the implications are there. And then slide 65, Chair, is a comment more than anything. The percentage of public ordinary schools that reflect a democratic ethos and a human rights culture. And I do understand that this is difficult to measure, and perhaps it shouldn't have even been in there, for that matter, if you can't measure it. But the fact is that education is a basic human right. So every school should be giving children an education to a level that it satisfies the human right that was envisaged in the Constitution. What I would really like to see, because the Constitutional Court cannot do such a thing, is that the department defines what basic education entails, puts it out for public comment, and finalizes that as a policy. What can a child expect as a human right to basic education? But that is a comment, which I'd really like to see going forward, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me to apologize for coming 30 minutes late. It was something beyond my control, trust me. I have two questions. The first question is on the distribution of the LTSN. You know, if these are distributed late, then the whole program, the quality education that we aspire cannot be realized. And I the things that I could get as I walked in, it was that these were distributed late, and in a few provinces, not necessarily, we don't even know how many provinces, and few provinces from only 9 provinces, to me was very strange, because if we talk of in a few provinces, and we're talking of all the provinces of this country are only 9, we definitely could get the correct data as to how many, because it's only 9, you can't talk of few from those. So my concern is that this thing must stop becoming a song, books and all learning materials distributed late, because teachers may be prepared to teach, but if they go to class without anything to assist them at all, we are not hoping to see a change, only to those few provinces. And it's not like other provinces cannot do the same. If the books go there late, it's not correct. Secondly, it's on this IQMS issue. You see, the incentive part, the last time I checked, the people were supposed to be remunerated for a job well done or things like that. But we don't get a report to say that everybody was remunerated as promised at the right time, because usually it becomes a mess, because if people don't get the incentives, very little thank you for the job that they are doing so hard, it becomes a challenge. We need to get correct data on things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Honorable Mushwana took two of my questions on the IQMS and the textbook. As you said, that you will ask more questions at the workshop, then I reserve other questions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies also for coming late. It's a problem of getting used to something. I'm used to 9:30. I didn't even read 9 o'clock. I'm sorry. My questions are based on the two programs. She's disturbing me. Gina. My questions are based on two programs, that program 3 and program 4, which are programs which I regard as very crucial in the whole system, not saying the rest aren't, because without properly and competent teachers, our system will continue at a weak level. So I see that in the Eastern Cape, for instance, you have about 60 teachers who are entering the profession for the first time, with Gauteng leading the pack at about 10 or Is it Western Cape? Okay. Thanks for assisting me with those numbers. My question was, is that a deliberate or a conscious act of producing, of having those 60 only in the Eastern Cape? Is that what the system in that province needs? Or what are the barriers, if there are any, for producing more who are entering the profession? Perhaps associated with that question, can I just ask a general question about teacher colleges? What is the department's stand on the teacher colleges? Because this was announced by the president, and but the higher education minister seems to back against it. What's your view? Are you going to open up these colleges, especially for the LCD, what do you call early childhood development phase? what's your position there? And my second question, the vacancy rate when it comes to I see it has decreased, but the tone from the department is if this is acceptable thing, say, okay, we have reduced the vacancy rate when it comes to, but just a single school without your principal, that should not happen. Why do you have schools without principals? How do you hope to achieve the objective of quality education, if I read that correctly? And the achievement rate on that program stands at 89%. What about the rest? What are the barriers? What is happening there? What is preventing the department from achieving 100% for that target? And lastly, Chair, teachers will receive specialized training in identification of learners with special needs. My figures, I see you have, it's what is it, 80? Is it 30% or just 30? 30. 30 out of how many full service schools, or I think that is the, that number is it's not good enough. And cuts. You mentioned that there is a collaboration agreement with teacher unions for orientation. This orientation, what does really, you know, I've been a teacher myself. You say you orientate me. What does that actually mean? Will you leave me competent enough to perform my duty? This boils down again to my earlier question about fully fledged teacher colleges. Why do you leave these to another department? Because I don't know. You know, I seem to agree with Mao Zedong, who I said, no, those who don't go to the people must have no right to speak. Because what we find right on the ground is different from what we get from the department. There's no synergy. How often does the department really go down there to the province and see the situation for itself? Because really, there's a concern on that area. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is around communication. What I see is that there's been only two articles to external publications. We might simply come to conclusions that this is too low, but what was the target? Maybe we may understand it better. Then my last question relates to slide 73. It's about allocation over the 2011-12 financial year. And then it says service. Under service is compensation of employees. And then expenditure as a percentage of adjusted appropriation says 96.5%. I don't understand. Can I be clarified? Or is my question clear? Not clear. What I'm saying is, under compensation of employees, we have a 96.5%. Does it mean that 3.5% has not been spent? Does it mean 3.5% has not been given to employees instead of giving? My expectation was that here we should be 100%. Maybe that understanding should be corrected as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me first join those ones who apologize for coming late, Chair. Can I also apologize? I got lost, Chair. Not that I did not have. I knew the time, but I got lost. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, my first question will be on the clarity that I had when the presentation was made, as to say, CAPS has distracted the Department of Education from achieving some of other targets. I was a little bit disturbed by that, as to say, that means the way it has, the way you have planned, it was not good and proper. If we are going to be seated here and said some of the targets that were made other than CAPS were disturbed by one of the programs that is CAPS, because even CAPS, I think, it has been well planned for and it has its own program, but maybe I did not get it clearly, if I can get an explanation on that one. But yeah, continuing on CAPS, it has been implemented. What are the lessons that we have learned through this first implementation of CAPS, so that come next year, at least we know what are the challenges, what are the lessons that have been learned, so that we can see the smooth running of CAPS in the second phase of it from next year, if ever we can get that one. Chair, maybe I don't know whether it can be possible here today to unpack this, but I can be happy if ever the DBE can unpack for us this media, my DBE project in these 94 schools. For me, real, I don't have a clear idea. I know there is such a project and it's something that is talked about, but for the benefit of the committee and those who do not understand like myself, I can be happy just to hear, or you included, Honorable Bonjan, okay, at least I'm not alone. If ever, that can be unpacked to us as to say what that project is, what is entailed in that that project as it stands. On program two, you talk of the program not achieve 25% of its planned targets. I'm not sure then whether it was achieved at a later stage or it wasn't achieved within the planned time. But if not, I see that 25% having a great impact and effect on programs like inclusive education and whatever. If ever we can get an explanation as to say what made that 25% not to be achieved, and how best can we make sure that the impact are really worse on the inclusive education. It's one of the areas that we are very passionate about as a committee, as to say we don't see it being affected as we go further. Chairperson, on the issue of the centralization of the procurement system within the department, I'm not sure whether that is where we talk of even the books having the centralized catalogue and whatever. I don't want to go to the nationalization of the part of nationalization part of it. But I know, Chairperson, it's quite a thorny issue right now, the way the publishing companies are against this, and it's not only the publishing companies. I think it's the debate that is there, outside there, as to say how best can we manage it. Yes, we know these publishing companies can come up with a book costing it 600 rand, where else it can we can get it from the department at 100 rand, but how well are we managing the whole situation? Because really, in as much as we agree, we are benefiting as a country if ever that is going to be done, but we need to see the whole transition period being well managed, as to say it doesn't cost these hassles and these debates that we hear is I think in whatever structure, whatever meeting you go to in the public, the professional meetings that you might attend, it's one of the things that is highly discussed, as to say the government now is taking the jobs of the people, you know, of which being the public representatives, and sometimes you are torn apart, as to say whom do you favor, how well can we manage this. Maybe I think I have brought my consent forward. Chair, lastly, you say, we can talk for the whole day. It's a pity we don't have time, but as we have promised, we are going to have a chance to talk about these things when we go for the workshop that you have just promised us. Chair, lastly, this issue of e-tolling, e-tolling. I'm sure. Hey. Yeah, the famous e-education, I'm sorry.
I think it's because you were at the NUMSA conference.
Yeah, I think so.
Congratulations.
I'm sorry. E-education and e-teaching, something like that. The e-education that you're talking of on slide number 20. I think we should applaud that as a committee. Really, we have been looking forward for that. Everything now is technology and whatever, ICT and everything. But yeah, how have we come up with that 1,650 schools? How well distributed it is? Because maybe while I'm raising this question, I'm trying very much to avoid a situation where we concentrate in those advantaged areas, as it might be, as to say how balanced the schools are, so that we can see the impact throughout the country, and we say exactly why, as we go forward, it will benefit the whole country. The very last one, Chair, on program, the school enrichment, it's program 5. I like this program. I always hear people saying they are the best programs, but I think for me this one is the best because it touches the lives of those vulnerable children out there. On that last program, Chairperson, how far are we with the process of looking at the quintiling of schools? I think it is important, Chair. I would just make one example. Coming from my constituents, I was called by one school, which is Quintile 5, but they had to show me that it's a submission which I'm still going to do, made to forward to the department, where more than 3/4 of the school depend on grants. They cannot move, you know, but they are rated Quintile 5, of which it's a program that we have been talking about for so many years, and we hear there is something that is being done to really the quintiling. How far is that process? Because I think it's quite an urgent thing that you are looking forward to. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot for that. And then I'm just going to add on something to the quintiling. What also happens is during the year or during this period, a school is brought down from quintile 5 to quintile 3. But then the complaints you get there, learners are not being fed. And we say, when it comes to nutrition, that between 1 and 3, and the high schools, the two secondary schools, that's in 1 and 2 and 3, you know, are being fed. Then in March, you had the SGB elections. Did all schools have elections during that period? And then what were the challenges? And then the other problem is the underspending. Although it was brought up, I think it's going to be very important for the department to unpack that for us. Because to me, or to us as a committee, I don't think we'll be satisfied with that. Then when it comes to infrastructure, different provinces, I know you won't be able to do it now, but I think it will be important for us to have a table, you know, because look, it's a grant. And, you know, this is Eastern Cape. So much of the grant was given to them, and this was done. You know, that we can see whether they underspent or overspent. But I know you won't be able to, you know, speak to it now, because we're also interested in the 94 Madiba projects and where they are. So I think those things will be important for you to prepare for us.
Mrs. Carlson. Just what's the time now? We'll give you a tell. We'll go to 11, be okay for everyone to go to Parliament. You got everything here with you. Not all of you. Alright. Alright. Let's make it till 20 to 11. You can answer. And as it is, we are going to sit with you from the 25th to the 27th of July. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to call upon, for fear of spluttering my way through the responses, and also to call on the direct management of each of the program managers here, for them to respond to those questions that specifically relate to their section. We also welcome the opportunity, I think, just to start for the three-day workshop, which we've all confirmed between yourselves and the Office of the DG. For our preparation then of all of the more detailed responses that you have requested. But I want to immediately call on my colleagues from the curriculum section to speak to the matters related to CATS and to cluster all of their responses to that. Mrs. Marie-Louise Samuels will join, but there will also be other responses required from sister branches that have been involved as well. So we'll start with the curriculum-based questions first, and I'll hand over to Mrs. Samuels to speak to those items. It will include the CAP implementation. It will also include the special education questions, as well as the issues related to, I think, the rollout of the CAPS program. But I'll come back to those questions that are skipped later. Thanks, Chair.
Samuel?
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair. In terms of the of CAPS, firstly, I would like to speak about the lessons learned, and that is that in this year, for example, most of the CAPS were delivered to the schools in the first term, which means that those schools that normally plan for the following year had difficulty because they didn't have the actual documents. The documents were loaded onto the on the website, but the actual physical copy was only distributed in January. And so from that perspective, this year, in preparation for implementation in the intermediate phase, the CAPS will be delivered in this year by November, so that the teachers would be able to plan adequately for implementation. The second issue, I think, in terms of that is about the utilization of the documents and what has been outlined in the documents. And that is what we are trying to do at the moment, is to ensure that we have a very good accountability system at the school, so that principals can hold themselves accountable for ensuring that the curriculum is adequately covered in the schools. And in that regard, we have developed a curriculum coverage tool, which is used by the principals and heads of department at school level, so that we are able to ascertain that, you know, what percentage of the curriculum has been covered. I think that as we move forward, that would be something that would be very well institutionalized. We don't have a number of qualified maths and science teachers in grade 10 that we are able to provide right now. Suffice to say that it is something that we are, that is receiving attention. We do not centralize data on the number of teachers attached to each of the different subjects. But we are changing that process so that we can gather that data. We do, however, because teacher supply for maths and science has been identified as a major issue, but also the utilization of trained maths and science teachers. And it's going to be one of the issues that we're going to be dealing with at a math summit that the minister is planning to hold in July as well. The second issue is about inclusive education. I think that Mr. Kutsura is trying to explain the the focus on caps, and maybe what I need to indicate is that for the first time in the training that has been done, there's been a significant amount of work done for all of the training that has happened, which includes the identification and addressing the special needs in terms of the curriculum delivery. And so as opposed to what the department had planned to do, which is to have intense training for 30 teachers, 30 districts, 30 teachers at special schools, etc., and it is within our competence to do that, we were not able to do that function because we were involved in the other areas. However, those are the areas that we are significantly going to be focusing on as we move forward. The information, we do have the information on what has happened in provinces, and so for example, of the 80 odd districts that we have, 66 districts have people that are trained in identification and support for special needs. So I think that the information that the members are requiring, I think we could provide, so that you can see the details in terms of the numbers of educators, the number of special schools, the number of districts, and which are those districts. I think we would be able to supply. The last point that I think we're wanting to mention in terms of workbooks and supplementary materials. Again, last year, and the Honourable Member raised the issue about, the sum of the nine. I think that we can certainly report that we had planned to deliver all of the workbooks by the end of February. Not all of the workbooks had been delivered in the Eastern Cape, and in KZN in terms of the workbooks. However, this year, in the same way as I've indicated around CAPS delivery, that will be taking place in November of this year, so that everybody should have the workbooks in the next year. Thanks, Chair.
I think there's still more questions on CAPS, because it was on that slide 38, I'm just page now, to slide 38 on that concept document that's not approved, the implications. And then I was looking at, what was the other block gaps? The collaboration agreement with unions. I think it came from Mr. Ponciano, when it comes to gaps.
Thank you. I'm going to call on Mr. Mohammed to respond to those questions because they relate to the teacher branch. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There has been a delay with the establishment of the NICPD, but the function of that structure is slightly different from immediate support to CAPS. It's meant to develop diagnostic assessments for teachers so we can get more reliable information on teacher needs, and also to develop courses that can support teachers, obviously with for CAPS and for the annual national assessments and NSC results. Work has been going on. The teacher union collaboration, in fact, is located within the NICPD, and as was indicated in the presentation, the launch of the NICPD is a short distance away. I'm not sure if Marie is going to deal with the question of the content of the CAPS orientation, or should I go ahead? Okay. The orientation is basically an introduction to teachers on the changes that have taken place in the curriculum policy statement, the strengthening of the curriculum. What is then to follow, so last year we had the foundation phase in grade 10. Provinces are at the moment working on the ongoing support, the deep support that needs to follow on the explanation of the changes and the requirements with regard to curriculum changes. Thank you.
Mr. Mohammed, also to speak to the question on colleges, but in terms of the discussion with higher education. Thank you.
Okay. As indicated, the function of the establishment of new institutions for teacher education lies with higher education, but we have received information that there is work going on in Eastern Cape and KZN for the establishment of new institutions or additional institutions that perform the function which is required.
An addition from Mr. Lever.
Thank you. Just in terms of the supply, teacher supply and demand issues, which cut across, I think, some of the questions that were raised, the point that's being made about the extension of teacher supply, including ECD and the maths and science, etc., is a very critical one, and we are working with higher education on the supply issues, not just the numbers, but also the kinds of supply of teachers in response to the demand from our side. So what we've been doing particularly is to try to map at district level the requirements by subject, by phase, for the different types of teachers, and feed that into then what is being produced at national level in terms of higher education mandates. But the Department of Basic Education and Higher Education are working together on that. The function lies with higher education, but definitely it's beyond just conversation, but actually what we want out of those teacher education colleges that have just recently been opened, but also how we get better absorption of the people that are produced now from higher education institutions in the different areas, particularly in education. I also want to use this opportunity to talk about other issues relating to posts. Because a lot of the concerns that we have in schooling are not just about the supply of teachers, but actually keeping them, A, retaining them, B, getting the ones that are produced, but also the ones, keeping the ones that we have. So we have really some work to do over the next year, this financial year, on teacher profiling, but also the things that militate against people staying within the system, retention particularly. So again, this is anticipated in this financial year, but work has already started on issues relating to post-provisioning, but also the issues that militate against the deployment of teachers in the right places at the right times, etc., particularly in response to maths and science and technology. So the issues relating to vacancy rates, schools without principals, I think that we've mentioned, HODs, etc., these are things that we have at school level we want to be able to get a better handle on, not just on aggregate terms, but actually at school level. So we understand what the demand is at school level, and also, therefore, what we need to fill and how we need, what the inefficiencies are in the filling systems and in the deployment of teachers and the utilization of teachers at subject-specific level. That's the important thing, because I think For a lot of the time that we've been doing this work over the last year or two, it has been at aggregate level. And what we want to do is to get a better sense within district of what's happening.
Could you at the same time just capture
thank you.
M&E question? Do you have it covered?
I think, the other M&E questions are just related to... Sorry, can I continue?
Do you wish to continue? Okay. We'll let Ms. Liebig complete, and I'll come to Mrs. Scriven afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. There was an issue related to the indicators. I think that was covered, really. But there was also an issue related to SGB elections. We only had 500 schools which didn't complete by the end of the time that they were supposed to have elections of the 26,000 that we have in the system. So only 500 schools didn't complete in the time required. So that obviously was something that we needed to work on, but there were a tiny minority of the schools that didn't complete in the time, their elections in the time that they were supposed to. And the election was helped by the IEC involvement and the streamlining of the processes and the preparation of SGBs as they were elected. So that was clearly a success in the period under review. Thank you.
Oh.
I think the response we are getting, it's of interest to us as a committee. Mm-hmm. The SGB elections were done up until the end of March. We are in June now. I think it's for the first time that the department can come up with, I believe, the correct statistics, as to say, by this time, within 2 months, they've rounded off throughout the country. They're in a position to tell us that only 500 schools did not do it. Is it because it was run by an independent body, that is IEC? Because it's always a challenge, really, for the department to come up with such reports at a very short period of time like that. What stopped us from doing that? Because I think if ever we can get such a responses, you know, with everything that is happening throughout the provinces, we can see this link between the DPE and the provinces, and we avoid this thing of always saying the provinces haven't submitted. What's the problem? It has been easy with the election of the SDP. It's nice to hear such a thing. If ever we can adopt that style with throughout the reporting within the Department of Education, I think we can get somewhere.
Now we'll have to stop. Those people have to go in, and certain people are going to speak still this morning. And I like to commend, and what will be important to when it comes to the SGB, what lessons we have learned. You know, what were the challenges? What have we learned? And then also more or less the breakdown, which provinces do that 500 come from. I would like you just to, because it's quite a number of questions still, the centralization of procurement system, communications, the specialized training, IQMS. Now there's quite a lot still to speak to. And then when it comes to the basic human rights, that could not be, you know, when it comes to the inputs of the human rights, you know, that you can't quantify. You know, there's quite a number of things to speak to. And we are meeting you, and we'll take it further with you. You can just conclude, please.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. It's a real pity that we haven't had time to really engage, so apologies to the members present for providing very cursory details. I've made a very detailed list of the questions that have been posed, and we will, as far as possible, also check that with the Secretariat so that we ensure that we've captured what the members have intended for us to respond to accurately. And in preparation for the workshop, there would be obvious documents that we have shared in preparation for those more detailed discussions. However, there are some matters that I think we can acquaint ourselves with. Some of the information, as they become available to us, can be shared in a timely manner. But we would also like to urge that matters that relate to the APP of the 2011 period, but we also match that and look at the APP presentation that we made for the next cycle, so that we can begin to look at how that compares with where we've picked up on the lessons ourselves, to begin to tighten up on what it is that we will be reporting on in the future quarters. What we also need to look at are that there are some things that are bound by the process itself, where, for instance, the National Institute for Curriculum and Professional Development, I think that these acronyms kind of roll off our tongues very glibly, and we often don't unpack them. Some of those details we can also provide at the workshop. But we also need to look at some of the other details that can be found in the NEPA, in the National Education Policy Act. That frames all of the work that we do. The constitutionality of matters of human rights and basic rights, those issues also captured there. They frame all of the content and the targets that we set for ourselves through our action plan. And the sector-wide approach is what informs our thinking. And our planning. There were a number of questions posed today around planning aspects, and I think that we would look towards that July workshop to share with you the detail with which the planning enterprise has been undertaken in the department. There's a huge amount of work that we've already had the opportunity to present internally to Minister and the Director General, has guided these actions in line with our delivery agreement and the sector plan, and that we would look to sharing with you so that you can begin to see just how we've mapped the sector in terms of how we can look at various clusters of key responsibilities that have emerged from the minister's priorities, but also that those priorities captured
in our sector plan. So we look with keen anticipation to an opportunity to unpack this in a more leisurely fashion in the time that we'll allocate in July. So thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair and Honourable Members. Thank you.
And thanks a lot, Department. I'm just sorry that we had to bring all of you down just for 2 hours to Cape Town because, you know, it eats into the budget of the department. But I'm glad that, you know, we'll clarify most of our issues in those 3 days, that we don't need, you know, just bring you down at any moment. Thanks a lot. And I'd like to thank the Honourable Members that were here at 9 o'clock and even those that got here late. And like Mr. Honourable Mponshana that says he's used to 9:30. The next meeting will be at 9:30. But remember with the workshop, we start at 8:30. See you. Thank you.
Yes.